The NIV says the law was put in charge to lead us. That's all one Greek word. Here's the Greek word. Brace yourself. Paidagogos. P-A-I-D-A-G-O-G-O-S. Paidagogos. It's the word we get pedagogue from. There is no English equivalent. It's just a fat word. But every person in the Greek culture and the Roman culture of Israel, because remember, they were occupied by Rome, every person that read this knew exactly what a paidagogos was. It was a slave that was in charge of your kids. We're trying to find an analogy last night, and Tony said governess, and governess was pretty good because it had to do with controlling behavior and making sure they went to their lessons and making sure they went to the bathroom when they needed to. And for most of the day, it was sort of like a boarding school for a day where you got to come home. But they were in charge of every part of your life, and that's what a paidagogos was. The difference between that and a governess is the governess is actually in the home. This was a slave who just took charge of your kids and until the slave brought the kids back and turned them into you. It's kind of a graphic word. And of course, it was the perfect analogy to use for people in that culture because everybody knew what it meant. The point that Paul is making is the law had a specific purpose. We don't need it once we've come back home, and we don't need it after we're adults. Verse 25 says, now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. That word supervision is the Greek word paidagogos again. So we don't need the nanny. We don't need the child controller is the literal translation of paidagogos. We don't need that now that we are by faith because, and that's why I'm really mad at the NIV for leaving out the word because or the word for. It should be written in between verse 25 and 26. Because you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. If you have a translation that says sons of God, it's a bad translation because the Greek word is the word huios. H-U-I-O-S, huios, which is the word, it's not masculine, it's neuter. It's the word for children, but it's the specific word for adult children who don't need supervision anymore. They have the full rights of inheritance. They can make adult decisions. So what he's saying is you don't need the babysitter, you don't need the nanny, you don't need the governess, because in Jesus, by trusting in Jesus, you are adult children, don't need that supervision anymore. Well, then who's supervising us now? In Jesus. Why do we not need the law? Paul talks about this a lot later in Galatians. He says, we have the Holy Spirit in us. The law did its job. The law got us to Jesus. The law showed us what we needed. The law showed us our faces were dirty. The law showed us we needed a Savior. And it drove us to Jesus. And once we came to Jesus, you know, and now we don't need that anymore. Verse 25, I still find astonishing. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. I just couldn't believe those words were in there. If you could take, I wrote down some of the synonyms that you'd have to combine to get this Greek word paidagogos down. The word tutor, the word trainer, the word bus driver, babysitter, nanny, governess. I have a friend named Bob. I don't know if he's listening online back in Washington State. He might be. He was the chief of police on the island I lived on. Neat Christian brother. But his testimony was, he said, I used to be a bozo on the bus for hell. He said, I'm still a bozo. I'm still on the bus. But Jesus hijacked the bus, and now it's not going to hell anymore. Now I'm Bozo on the bus to heaven. And he said, I was a bozo. I wasn't driving. It was out of my control. Jesus came in and rescued me, swooped me up, and now I'm still a bozo, and I'm on a different bus now because it's headed for heaven. And that's the story of the gospel. Now, you have a choice, and I have a choice. We can believe that that $50 million that we owed God, that that debt was paid, and stop trying to earn it. You can feel, you know what? Why some people just can't accept a gift? It just makes them feel uncomfortable. They feel like they have to earn it. Oh, come on, here, let me pay. You can keep your job at Burger King. You can slave away and try to whittle down that 50 mil with your minimum wage job, or you can just believe that it's paid and that you're fine. That as far as God is concerned, you're fine. Let me just tell you one story and I'll close with this. I have five more minutes, I think, don't I? Legalism dies so hard. Like I said, when I feel like I'm a good boy, I'm positive God loves me more. When I feel like I'm a bad boy, or I know I'm a bad boy, I feel like he can't possibly love me as much as he did when I was a good boy. But the whole issue of what my salvation means is that God's in a fixed position of love towards me. It doesn't fluctuate every day depending on my performance. His love doesn't change. I can hurt my fellowship with him by sinning. He doesn't stop loving me. But you understand what I'm saying? He's just in that fixed position. He's put his Holy Spirit in me. One of the reasons the Holy Spirit is there is to say, Bob, you know, you kind of stink right now. You really stink right now, Bob. Get over there, run to Jesus right now. Let him hose you down. And that's what the conviction of the Holy Spirit is all about. It shows me my sin, but it sends me to Jesus to be clean. Because I know I'm going to be loved when I get there. The difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation says, you stink. If I were you, I'd lay low. If I were you, I wouldn't push the envelope, buddy. If I were you, I'd stay away from church. I wouldn't talk to any Christians. If I were you, I would just hope God doesn't find you. And condemnation, when the Bible says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus in Romans, condemnation points me away from God. Conviction of the Holy Spirit sends me toward God. And the Holy Spirit's been given to me. Here's something, then I'll tell you this little story and we'll close. I'm going to kick myself that I didn't do justice to this passage. This was not too long ago. I'm not even going to tell you how long ago it was, but it was one of those moments when God rooted out another corner of legalism that was still stuck in me. When you're raised in a legalistic family where you have to earn the love of your family, when you're raised in a legalistic system, a religious system where you always have to earn God's favor, whatever it is you're doing isn't good enough, that dies hard. And this was just a few years ago. I was sitting in the morning with my cup of coffee, dreading the day, telling God again, why I'm the wrong person to be a pastor. And I was sitting there and I started weeping. And I just said, Lord, more than anything in this world, I want to be a good man. And I just kept saying that over and over. And God did one of these great things that he does when he's reasoning with me. He doesn't just yell at me, he just reasons with me, and he knows how my brain works. So about the fifth time I said, Lord, I just want to be a good man, and I'm crying. He said, why? And I said, pardon? And he said, no, why? Do you want to be? He said, I believe you. I know you want to be a good man. And he says, why do you want to be a good man? And I thought, I just do. He said, did you always want to be a good man? I thought, well, no. Well, why do you want to be a good man now? Well, I just do. I want it more than anything. And he reminded me of that scripture in Philippians that says, God is at work in you, both to will and to do what pleases him. Meaning that if I have the desire to please God, that's because he's working in me. That's the Holy Spirit. So he said, the reason that you want to be a good man is the proof that you're going to be a good man, because you wouldn't want to be one if the Holy Spirit wasn't in you. So he says, it's a done deal. As long as you're feeling that way, it's a done deal, because that's the proof that the Holy Spirit is living in you. Now see, this is not the way I was raised. The way I was raised was you went screaming down to the altar and you cried your brains out trying to kissy face up to God, hoping that God would forgive you. It never even occurred to me that if God wasn't working in my heart, it's the Holy Spirit that convinces us that we're sinners. So if God just took the Holy Spirit away, I wouldn't care that I was a sinner. If I want to be close to God, that's proof that he's working on me, right? I mean, it's not just scriptural, it's logical. So he said, just relax. He says, first of all, only a good man under construction prays that kind of prayer. Because if you weren't a good man under construction, you wouldn't care about being whether or not you were a good man. And it put my mind at ease. I'm still not a good man. I still want to be. But I just know I'm under construction. And I know that he's heavily invested in that being a done deal. And I know it's not because I'm going to all of a sudden be able to leap tall buildings at a single bound, and then I'm, you know, all of a sudden just going, something's going to kick in. This is my 63rd year on this planet. Something's going to kick in, and finally, I'm going to be the man that I always should have been. It's probably not going to happen that way. It's happened little by little, step by step, as God, he settled the whole sin issue. He settled the whole righteousness issue, and now the pressure's off. And he says, okay, let me in, and I'll grow you up. And while I'm growing you up, you're accepted. You're loved. All that thing about all the law that you didn't keep, that doesn't apply to you anymore, because the righteousness of Jesus has been credited to your account. Remember, you swapped him? So you're in that pressure-free zone where I can grow you up, and you know that I'm smiling at you while it's happening. That is the message of the gospel. I would hate to tell you, you're not going to hear it every place. I'm clinging to it like a life preserver because I don't have any other hope. So even if it's not true, I'm still going to stand on what the Bible says versus what people say. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law, because we are all children, adult children, through faith in Christ Jesus. We don't need the nanny anymore. We have God's law written in our hearts now in a different way. Remember, Jesus said that all of the law and all of the prophets could be summed up in what? One commandment. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and mind, soul, and strength. That's always what God wanted. It was never about keeping rules. It was about loving him. We couldn't keep the rules. So he arranged that whole exchange. We needed the rules because we needed to know what the protective, we needed those protective boundaries, and we needed to know we were sinners. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It's way bigger than I am. Thank you for this chance we've had tonight just to look at some of these verses, Lord. My prayer is that if any part of it is not clear, that as we look ourselves personally, that you will guide us to the truth, Lord, by the Holy Spirit. It's just such good news that it's hard to believe. Thank you for loving us at our worst. Thank you for making us alive when we were dead. Thank you for every day, Lord, being in a fixed position of love towards us. Thank you for the investment that you've made of putting your only your own spirit in us, to enable us to live the life our Creator made for us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that keeps on cleansing us from all of our sin. Lord, bless these words. I pray that you would keep us safe as we go to our homes tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.